Is that my Bluetooth doing that from my phone?
What is going on? This is actually just sensing Bluetooth IDs, and it's choosing essentially a bird sound for each person. So you are emanating maybe an owl or, you know, a sparrow or some kind of exotic wild bird. The sort of metaphor is that what happens when the mobile devices basically, it's not my personal tool, it's sort of fixed. Imagine this would be outside, you could pass by, and in some sense people are giving off these Bluetooth beacons, but what if you reinterpret that as a sound or a picture, some kind of other gift to essentially your urban environment? And this is just sort of one way of saying what happens if you actually pick up these sounds. And in some place it's a little playoff of ringtones too. I mean, ringtones are essentially a personal choice, but it's a public experience for everyone. So what happens when you say, could there be a place-based ringtone? It's like, what would be the sound for this place? So this is just one way of saying, well, maybe it's made up of all the people's sounds that are here right now. It's a very unique sound. It could never have that sound any other time because it'd have to be just the right number of people here.
Too bad John Cage isn't around to see this. Or you could use car horns and brake drums.
There was a version. We actually installed this for 3 weeks in Boston, and we ran it, and it had much more. It wasn't bird sounds. It was more what you're talking about, kind of strange sounds. So you would be a dog barking, and I would be, a car horn. Someone else would be, you know, all these different sounds.
So, Eric, I wonder if you could tell me your full name and your title and what you do here.
So my name is Eric Paulus. I'm a research scientist at the Intel Research Lab at Berkeley. And I work and run the sort of Urban Atmospheres Research Project, where we're sort of challenged to try to deconstruct and understand these public urban spaces and look for opportunities for technology to play a role there. One of the reasons we're even looking at the urban landscape is because it's utterly changed in the last couple of years. It may look largely the same, but as people are probably aware, it's covered with all kinds of wireless signals. People are carrying around very sophisticated processors in their pockets and purses and bags. So it's a place that has radically changed, but it's largely not visible. As a researcher, we're kind of challenged to say, well, people are using these tools now, I mean, largely things like mobile phones. It's something that's with someone all the time. Are there ways to say there's new opportunities to use it beyond just as a communication tool? So what happens when it's not just for maybe calling or texting friends and family and things like that, but what happens when it can be used in very different ways? And that's kind of what we're trying to explore. We're sort of given the opportunity to ask these bigger questions of what could happen. One of the kind of high-level themes, at least, is that, and I think this is maybe getting to the point, a lot of the technology, it seems kind of overwhelming, and it's also, it is this sort of du jour where they come and go, and it's very hard to say, you know, you need to look for these killer applications. I would claim that we're more interested in putting forth a wider discussion of possibilities, of kind of flavors of things that people might want to experience in these urban environments. One of our big missions is to say, well, a lot of the tools are driven around productivity and efficiency, and for a good reason. I mean, you want to sometimes find a good restaurant, or you want to basically get the next bus home. But in life in general, we do a lot more than that. We wonder and we reflect and we daydream, and there's a lot of things that the technology could help us envision and sort of participate in that are sort of not touched or not tapped into. And so we've said we'd like to have this discussion about how do these tools promote wonderment? How do they promote these kinds of more reflective kind of feelings about urban life in general? And one of the big pushes we've been saying recently is, you know, what happens when you start to think of these tools as actually a measurement instrument? So something that's not, for example, just for communicating with friends, but it's actually taking measurements of urban locations. So it's suddenly empowering people to become these sensor-rich devices, become empowering people to actually take their own personal measurements. So that's just another one of the projects we're working on, this kind of participatory urbanism. And what happens when you do get this huge change, and people with these sensor-rich devices, we know that there's going to be more sensors. We see that with all kinds of mobile devices. There's everything right now from, of course, like the iPhone and a number of other devices have accelerometers, and we have proximity sensing. There's even devices on the market you can get with breathalyzers. So that's another fun application you could use. But we're interested in looking at what kinds of very radically different kind of participation mechanism with technology you can get. So once you start to view this as a measurement instrument, then you can think about everyone participating to essentially visualize and reflect on their urban environment.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for explaining the research.
Sure, great. Thanks for stopping by.